Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I am back bringing the Good News Show to you. This week is a very exciting week. We have the eighth week in the Living Large series, and in this week, we will discuss all of the weeks previous to now. We will give a little summary of every week and just kind of pull it all together. Later on in the show at 6:30, we have a fabulous artist. Her name is Eileen Seitz, and her artwork is a gift from God to people. And we will just interview her about her art, and then we'll find out how she is living large. I am on air with Sherry, and Sherry's going to summarize the show for us. Are you with us, Sherry?
I am, Patty. Good morning, Patty, and good morning to you, all our listeners.
Good morning.
So it is it's very exciting because we have had a really great 7 weeks so far of living our life large and getting excited about it. We've had a lot of people that have written in and called us and told us how they have really taken everything that we have said and taken notes on it and living their life and in doing a lot of the things that we have talked about. So
We see they're transforming.
They're totally transforming, yeah. So we really like them. We want to hear from everybody about that. Also, I do want to say if anyone would like to write into us and tell us something that they would like to hear about on our next upcoming shows, we would love to hear that also because we're putting together something really special, again, for the next couple weeks. So stay tuned, and you will find out what we're going to be talking about. So for now, though, we're doing our recap on our living our life large and getting excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first week, we talked about our purpose in life. And I said, strong lives are motivated by dynamic purpose. We wanted to find out what makes you happy. What are your strong points? You know, what do you love to do and what excites you every day? What gets you charged up and what you want to wake up in the morning to do?
So it's really reaching deep into yourself and finding your purpose.
That's it. Because within us, we know all of our answers, as we know. Mm-hmm. And when we get in touch with that, and it takes some time with ourselves, it takes going within, and it takes writing down things. I always say, write down lists. I'm a big list taker, so write down lists of things that, you know, that excite you, that give you charge, and things that you will come closer to finding out what it is that your true purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And our minds sometimes tell us we're not good enough, and it keeps us from jumping in and taking risks.
It does. One of our emailers had a question about the age that you do this. Do you do it at a very? Do you do it before you go to college? Do you do it in your 20s? And I found that to be interesting because it does take courage to do it at in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s. So you almost feel like you've missed the boat. So it does take a lot of courage in any age.
Right, and
you know, you're not living your purpose. Or if you haven't found it, sit with yourself and do that deep soul searching.
Right, because it can come at any age. And some people are lucky and they find it early in life. And some people are later in life and it comes to them. And they are able to jump in and take that risk. And finding out what your purpose is can ignites our spirit. And it will give us meaning to our life. Purpose is the why we are here and what is our special calling. And it gives us drive to continue no matter what our challenges are. So that's very interesting. And then in our second week, we were living our passion. And we talked a lot about visualization. And I always talk about visualizing 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. Visualizing is creating the movie screen of your life. Who do you want in your movie? See it already happening. You know, this is big. This is a really big thing. When we visualize, it's it's more than meditation. It's a way of mapping out the changes and upgrades that we want in our life.
And the good news with that is you have the ability to create whatever you want to create. You can
right.
create it as...
Exactly. You know, it's like having... kind of like having the train tracks, you know, and if we redirect the train tracks, we can redirect where we're going. And if when we find out what we want and we can put that on our, you know, in our mind's eye, and we can think about that in large form, like make it colorful, create what you want. You know, it takes apart old images and replaces them with new and better ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about, you know, what are you passionate about in your life? You know, do you love what you do now? And, you know, we have to find something that we love enough to be able to take risks.
Well, this is after you find your purpose. The second week is living your passion, and it's an ever-evolving thing because your passion changes as you experience things.
Right.
So you've defined your purpose, but you keep redefining it as you grow.
Right. Beautiful said. Yeah, first you have to determine what you love, and then this is the action step.
Right.
You know. We have to identify what our likes and dislikes are and what our challenges and strengths are. And I suggest that you write things down and, you know, write it on paper. It's a great tool.
Okay.
So, and then we were on week three.
Oh, week three. Okay.
And in week three, we talked about our inner strength and being aligned with your purpose. And true happiness does not come from the outside, and neither does strength.
Mm-hmm.
So in
Definitely
developing...
need to build that strength muscle from within.
Right, right, because it takes inner strength, and inner strength takes time and patience.
It does, it does.
You know, you're developing. Developing that way, and with each thing that we do and we try to get stronger, we go through our challenges, and it's, and each thing that we go through that's challenging gets us stronger, you know. And when you're aligned with who you are, we stand in our truth of who we are, and then we have an inner knowing that comes from our heart and soul. So that's, you know, really getting aligned with your inner strength and who you are. Then you move forward and you take action. So there you have it, people. Now,
well, listeners, we want to hear from you, so pick up the phone, give us a call. We want to hear your positive stories and good news, so call 347-324-5983. That's 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a phone or if you're not listening to us live, you can always send us an email at goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. This is Patty Black bringing the Good News Show to you from Miami, Florida, the Magic City, and I am on air with Sherry.
Hi, everybody. I'm doing a little recap here for our show, and we're now on week four. And week four was being prepared for challenges. And, you know, you may have a plan A, but how do you handle plan B? That was interesting. We got a lot of feedback on that one because sometimes in life we have a plan A and then sometimes we've got to go to plan B and then plan B doesn't work and we're going off to plan C and plan D. And it usually ends up that whatever we're on turns out better than what our first intention was. You know, we have to let go of what our first plan was and move forward and go on to plan B or plan C.
Mm-hmm. Every situation unfolds as it is supposed to unfold. Everything is in order, and sometimes we find that we're on plan G. You have G,
right.
H, I, J. And sometimes that can happen within 5 minutes.
Exactly. And, you know, how hard is it to adjust, you know, to change? I think it depends on whether or not the change was our idea, you know, because when we decide to change, we usually jump in with both feet. You know, we're excited about the possibilities ahead. But when the change is forced upon us, we rebel.
Right. We resist it. It's a natural tendency.
Totally. Totally. But, you know, isn't it really our perception of change that either holds us back or moves us forward?
It is, Sherry. It is. It's. But once you recognize that it change is not that drastic and you just need to go with the flow, it brings a different light to living. It takes out that resistance and just makes everything a little more peaceful, and you just go with the flow.
You go with the flow, just like being on the river. You know, if you're fighting and you're going upstream and you're trying to row the boat yourself and you're trying to go faster or you're trying to make things happen, you're going to run into that resistance. But
mm-hmm.
if you let go and you just go with the river, slow.
You get there faster.
There you go. Yeah, you get to be exactly where you're supposed to be, which is probably on the other side. But the truth to change is it happens every day, whether we want it or not.
That's one thing we're guaranteed in life is change.
Right, and people change and people grow. And, you know, we're just in that, especially nowadays, you know, things are constantly moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're constantly changing. We're in different places in our lives that we need to be able to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I've had to make changes, I do it just like you would do it or anybody else out there would do it. And it's one day at a time. And remembering that it's all my perception of change that affects my thoughts and my feelings and my reactions. So, you know, it's when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at will change.
Right, right. And that, I think the key to that is acceptance and gratefulness. Just be grateful that you do have other options.
Absolutely. And we'll be talking about gratefulness because that's really one of the main keys, you know, and tools that I use all the time, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But we were on week 5 now, and that was knowing who our core supporters are. How important is that? I mean, we have people in our lives that, you know, it takes more than one person, I find, to bring all the things that you need, that bring you into your true essence of who you are. And it takes a group. So get your group of people together. People that are there that help support you. They're not the sabotagers in your life. You know, we talked about when you're going out to dinner to someone's house and you've been on a really nice eating plan and you go over and they're forcing you to eat the cake that they just made or, you know, and trying to sabotage you instead of supporting you in what you're doing. Or they're the ones that you tell them about something that you're doing and they don't sound excited about it. They're not there to like rev you on. It's get out there and tell the people in your lives how wonderful they are, how you appreciate them, how what they're doing is important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need the people in our lives that are going to move us forward, move us up. And, you know, there's so many people in our lives that support us to be the best that we can be. And like I said, you usually don't get that from just one person.
Right. You build your team of your support group, key people in your life that are going to elevate you to so that you can live your passion and,
right.
and be your true purpose here. If you have people who are, I call them energy drainers, you know, you want to help them, you just, it's not a lack of love or compassion for that person, but it's just not healthy. You need to just be aware of the energy drainers and limit your time with them. And in some cases, you may need to just put a lot of space and distance between yourself and that individual, because it's not going to help you live large. And surrounding yourself with positive energy, the higher vibration just keeps you on a higher vibration, and that's a beautiful thing. So key people in your life is very, very important. Have that support group. Make it as large as you want, or you could limit it to a certain number if you, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But just remember that if they are positive and they help you feel good, it's all about feeling good,
it's
Sherry.
It's all about feeling good, because if you're doing something and you're feeling bad about it, then you're not in the right place. You're not aligned. So you need to take a look at that. We want to be around people and situations in our life that make us feel good, that rev us up, and that is really that's really important.
That is, and you may feel good with a certain individual in your life for a period of time, and then you realize or recognize that at some point you're not feeling good around that person. Then maybe that person's journey in your life is over. I was reading in the Oneness book, and it does say that people are in your life for a certain reason and for a certain period of time. It may be one day, it may be 5 minutes, or it may be 10 years. So just recognize when you're not feeling good, get away, think about it, and then gracefully put distance between yourself and that person.
Yeah.
When you have somebody who really helps you feel good, just keep, you know, loyalty to that individual, keep a nice, peaceful, equally balanced and healthy relationship with that person, because it will make a difference in your life. And it's so important. I can't stress how important that is.
Right. That's beautifully said, because we don't need to keep ourselves around people that are abusive in our life and that don't support us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have friends that support us emotionally, and we know that they're there for us. You know, they're the good listeners. They may not tell us what to do, but they always have a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, also, here's the deal, people. You know, we can't talk about having a support team without talking about our being centered spiritually and having our spiritual support people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being at one with our higher self and then getting aligned with our spirit within, this is where we get our true energy and our highest level of support. And as we heard a couple of weeks ago, we had Chris Jackson, Reverend, Senior Reverend from the Unity Church. He's one of my support people.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly encourage people to have someone spiritually in your life, because when we, you know, we may have that person that may help us, you know, here's a new meditation class, or let's go here together. Let's find different spiritual outlets and open your awareness up to spiritually going within, getting centered, and you know, that is also really important to have somebody in your life like that.
Oh, absolutely. And that, even your higher power, is the energy that puts those little angels in your life, those key people. So it's fully connected to your spiritual strength and awareness.
Right. So now we're moving forward, and we're going on to week six. Week six is looking for creative solutions. And being creative means bridging the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. And we have the opportunity then to focus on the areas where we would like to make change. You know, one of the things that I always like remembering and reminding others is of that life is so worth living, especially if it's living in a way that's worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're talking about creative solutions, you know, we can use our imaginary crystal ball and use it on our own lives, and focus on our successes and solutions and not on the problem. And then we can interpret it in positive ways and say, you know, there's another way I can look at this. And then there usually is. So it's, you know, it's looking at things. It's not looking at the problem. It's looking at the solution. And how can I make this work? How can I make it a win-win situation? And what are my choices here? Because the good news is that we all have choices. And I knew that that was something that when I found out during my life about how I have the choices, because sometimes you go through life and you think that you're just going with everybody else and you really don't have the choice and the say and the voice. So, you know, it's really important to know that we have choices and we can be heard.
It's absolutely important, Sherry.
I want to say before we go to the end, because I want to be able to make sure we talk about this and we're just moving forward, is my mantra has been, and it's keep this with you, people, live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. And if you just act on those few things, and keep that with you. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. You know, come from love. You know, we have to be prepared, you know, not to come from, look into yourself. Don't come from fear, insecurity, fears of rejection. We need to come back to that place of love and openness and compassion and understanding. And when you look at things in that way, it really turns things around, and you're like coming from a whole different place. So here we are, Patty. We're now on week 7. And it's been, I want to say, and for you too, Patty, it's been a great time for us getting prepared for all of this. And, you know, we've really had a great time in talking about this and living it ourselves and acting, on all these things that we're talking about. We're not only talking about it to you, but we're living it in our lives also.
Well, week 7 is being centered.
Yes. It's being centered no matter what.
Being centered no matter what.
So how do we stay grounded to the values and beliefs and adapt to the changing world and all the things that are changing around us, you know, by always being conscious of who we are
mm-hmm.
and never taking things for granted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And living our life in a conscious state of mind and practicing ways of being that center us. And I know for me, I need to eat healthy. I need to exercise. I need to practice my spiritual principles daily. And, you know, when we get in touch with our needs, we become truer to ourselves and stand up for who we are and what we want for ourselves. When we realize how much choice we have and that we can own the choices that we make.
It makes a difference.
It really does make a difference.
It does. You're standing tall. You're comfortable in your skin. You are more defined. You know who you are and who you're becoming. And when you have that confidence in your being, it's you do stand tall and you embrace life and you are not put off balance by change and disturbance. You're at a different place, and that's living large, living your life, living your purpose, having your passion in your day, having good positive vibration around you all the time. It's a solid stance in life. And it is important, those things that you've mentioned with your diet, that's very important. We need to eat foods that make us feel good. Not sleepy or heavy or fatigued. You just need to get in tune with your body and figure out what foods make you feel good. Your spiritual connection is important for those times where you do need to some support.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were saying yesterday, we were talking about, you know, you wake up in the morning and you look out the beautiful place that you live. You look at it in the world and you say, look at this incredible world. I have the choice today to make it a good day, or I can stay in the place of negativity. And it's all our choice, so we can take that and we can run with it and we can create a great day. And you know, that's all of our choice. You know, when I find myself off balance or ungrounded, I use breathing techniques and meditation, and I use prayer to bring me back to a more centered space. And I was very fortunate to have met with Serena Morello, who has guided me on how important breathing is. And has used her CD, Gateway to Inner Peace, that was just what I was looking for. And it's a great tool. And if anyone is interested in that, you can listen to our last week's show, and you can listen to Serena talking about that. And also, you can look up her website and look for her CD, The Gateway to Inner Peace. So that was a really great tool that... That was very important for me. I also, you know, I wanted to say that one of the things that are key for us is the power of gratitude. It's the attitude of gratitude. You know, we have to really realize that when we look at things and look at the things that in our life that we're grateful for, gratefulness and gratitude unlocks the fulfillment of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance. It turns chaos into order, confusion into clarity, and it can turn a meal into a feast. You know, it turns a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. And gratitude makes sense of our past. It brings peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow. You know, if we concentrate on finding whatever it is in our lives that's good in every situation, we will realize that our life is filled with gratitude, and that feeling fills our soul. We want to come from that place of gratitude. There's a calmness to living in gratitude. It's a quiet joy. It's like really being in that place of, you know, I'm just, even if you just wake up and you just say thank you, that's enough. And if you're, you know, look at what you have, look at even the things that you don't have. You have to be grateful for the lessons that you learn. Sometimes you're in a situation that's, you know, not your perfect situation. Well, you can either stay in that place of misery, an upset, or you have the choice to say, you know, I'm grateful for the lesson that I learned here. This is not where I want to be. And you get clear about where you want to be and who you are. You know, and if the only prayer that we say in our entire life is thank you, it will be enough. You know, because there is so much to be grateful for.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. There you have it, listeners. That is the wrap up for the Living Large series. We invite you to go back. It is archived, so you can go back and listen to each week. We had great individuals interviewed during that series. They had a lot of wisdom to share with us. So I want to thank you for joining us with this Living Large series. We now have an interview with Eileen Seitz, and I believe she is calling in, so I'm going to bring her in just a moment. Eileen is a very special individual whom I've met here in Miami, Florida.
Morning, Patty.
Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Sherry.
Sorry, it took a few seconds to get your microphone on.
On here.
Oh, it's
Thank you for
pleasure.
Thank you for getting up so early to be with us today.
I heard your introduction. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
I totally agree with everything you just said.
Oh, well, you know, that makes me feel really good because I respect your opinion so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I respect the opinion when I open my eyes every morning. And I see that I'm still here to enjoy my day.
Well, listeners, Eileen Seitz is an artist, and she has a gift for painting and drawing, which was began at a very young age in your life. And I understand that what happens is you, Eileen, allowed spirit to speak freely through your pen and brush. Could you elaborate on that and just let our listeners know who you are?
Sure. I base myself down here in Coconut Grove, but my journey started truly when I was about 13 years old, and it was when I actually had a pen in my hand, and when I saw what was flowing through it, I just fell in love. And I knew that that's what was my connection for the rest of my world, for the rest of my life on this planet, was that I was meant to be here conveying what I saw through my eyes, through my hand, onto paper or canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And through that experience, I just, I had different friends growing up, but I was always the outsider watching. I was more of the observer. I couldn't really communicate with too many people out there. I always dressed differently. I was always a trendsetter. I followed what made me feel happy. I would read books on my own that were connected to spirituality at a very early age, 16, things connected to the Taoism, things connected to Confucius, things of all genders of knowledge out there, different religions and races and whatever. Growing up in Manhattan, I had a whirlwind of the world in front of me at my footstool. So I learned quickly about all cultures and the freedom within all countries and cultures. People, friends of all different nationalities were mm-hmm. at my hand all the time. I had Puerto Rican friends, I had Catholic friends, I had Jewish friends, I had Italian friends, you know, I had Polish friends. And everybody had their own way. And all of that led to my development as an artist.
Mm-hmm. So you were lucky that you actually, at a young age, you were able to find out what your true purpose in life was.
Yeah, but I had I had assistance at 8 years old from my fourth grade teacher, see, because my mother came from a very creative family, so she already had a free spirit. And she used to knit all the time. So she played with colors. And she understood the beauty and the joy of colors in nature. Even though we grew up in a building in Manhattan, she loved plants and she loved flowers. So she already instilled all of that into my world. But I had no connection to Mother Nature at that time because of where we grew up. And it was only as we started to grow up and we were sent away to sleepaway camp that I have a connection to the earth. And when I smelled the air for the first time, I was blown away by the fragrances and just in the air itself from the trees. Because growing up in Manhattan, what did you have? You had the fumes and you had the concrete gray jungle around you consistently.
Right.
So it wasn't until I was a teenager and I actually was invited to go to the Virgin Islands that I went, oh, I took a deep breath and I went, wow. And I realized how tiny we were on this planet and how we were a visitor, and the earth was our footstool, and that we could encumber, you know, enhance ourselves just by embracing the glorious gift that God had given us with the land and the sky and the water and the trees. And I remember the first time I was under a palm, and it was a banana frond, and it was in St. Thomas, and we were there at the first six days of a torrential tropical storm, and I was standing under a banana frond, and the rain was pouring off the banana frond, and I'm standing under this thing in the mud, and I'm laughing. I'm saying, I'm just like overwhelmed with the beauty here, and the power and the might, and I saw from mountain high side how all the mud was running into the sea, and we could have just dissolved into the sea, but here we are on a little island in the grand Caribbean waters, and about a mile out around the whole sea was the brown, muddy water. And it just, everything started clicking really quickly for me. But my painting hadn't really started clicking yet. But I was being introduced and fed the life force of Mother Nature into my being. And that's where it all started clicking for me. Until then, I came back to the States, and I was living in Key West, and I was introduced to an art teacher down there. And she taught me more than I had learned at Pratt Institute in a couple of art sessions about color. And she gave me the freedom because she showed me how to paint my color wheel. And as soon as I started doing that, everything started coming through. Mm-hmm. And spirit, just with its joyfulness and its playfulness, yes, spirit talks to me all the time. You could say I'm clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
And my vision is starting to come up on an inner level as well. But when I do my artwork, I always start at one point, and then the rest starts to unfolding on its own. I never plan out a picture like some artists might do. I just start with one point. I start with the thing that hits me, the inspiration that hits me. And it could just be a leaf that I see outside. It could be a photograph of a market scene that I took, or I see one lady just sitting there, and it's her body folding over, or her movement, or her color, and then the rest of it unfolds.
How long does it usually take to do one of your big paintings?
If I'm doing a 4x6 foot oil or 36x54 oil, I usually tell my customer or myself at least a month. I need a month to 2 months to paint it. Because I have other things coming in at the same time frame that I attend to. And sometimes I'll paint 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And I generally try to get to my canvas every day or my table every day to work. Because that's my communion time. And when I'm in communion, a lot of other issues in my life that I'm thinking about talk through me. Because when I'm in the painting state, I'm not thinking. I'm just being.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's being at your center. You're being, we're talking also about being centered and grounded. And what do you do to bring yourself back to that place of being centered?
Well, personally, I don't think I'm very much far away from that at any time in the course of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, being centered is being without question, without thought, and just allowing this invisible, unbiblical cord to guide me. And that's how I lead my day. I just wake up in the morning, I say, okay, God, what do you have for me to do today? And then Spirit will say, okay, we want you to make this phone call. Or go over there and make a cup of tea. And I just do step by step, because if I don't have my house in order. And I was told a long time ago, don't worry about the things you have to do. We will show you the way, one step at a time, because you think you have to go to the right, but we really want to make you go to the left, because you have two things to pick up on the left that will bring you to the right. So I let go a long time ago as far as trying to plan anything, as far as trying to presume that I know anything. And people say, well, what do you think you're going to be doing in a year? I said, a year? I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. You know,
mm-hmm.
If I make an appointment with somebody, I keep it. If I make a commitment with somebody, I keep it, because I believe very firmly that God comes through us and we are the spoken word of God on the planet. So by keeping our commitments and keeping our truth with spirit, then we are walking in the light.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly, we were talking about that also. And what we were talking about is we do a lot, I know for myself, I do a lot of visualizations and affirmations.
Yeah.
And really keeping that focus on what I want and not on what I don't want, what I don't have.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you can get to that place of realizing that your needs are really what your wants are, then everything comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have excess in much of anything, because what you need will show up at your doorstep. And I mean literally at your doorstep. I remember, can I tell you this experience? I was living at Key West for 5 years, and I had a bicycle, and that was my journeying. And I remember one day I was thinking, God, I'm really, really hungry. And I go home, and I wanted something red to eat. And I go home, and there's a bowl of tomatoes at my doorstep, just sitting there on my porch. And I just said, thank you, God. You know, like every time something appears, I said, thank you, God, you knew what I needed. You gave it to me. I didn't have to ask for anything. But it comes to a place of not getting scattered, because I remember, too, where I would oftentimes want to get up and start something new, and they're screaming at me. They're saying, no, sit and finish. Sit and finish. You'll understand. Just sit and finish. and I would be thinking of a friend, and I'd want to go off and go play. They said, no, sit here and finish this picture. We need you to finish this picture. Concentrate, focus, focus. So I'd do my work, I'd finish. I'd feel really joyful because I made that last connective line that pulled everything together. And then I turn around, and the same person I was imagining was at my doorstep. And I said, oh, okay, now I understand why.
No,
so I started learning how to listen, pay attention. And when I'm doing all these art shows, I talk to a lot of people at times. And I don't know what my job really is, if it's painting or talking. Because people turn around in my booth and go, oh, my God, what did you just do to me? I feel so good. Walk out of here. And I thought, wow, I never thought like that before. So I learned that what we see on the outside is many times the exact 180-degree opposite of what's going on in the real world. And if we can just flip it, you know, flip what's going around. If you have an issue, just flip it, turn it around. And it always seems to be the correct way to behave and to follow after you're going through any kind of problematic situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. That's like, you know, being able to have a creative solution. And, you know there's always another way of looking at things.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And it's all in
like
our
looking
perception.
At the retrograde of it.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of it.
Yeah. I'm trying to give you some other examples. Well, see, people oftentimes have in their heads stuck the things that they were taught, told, given of other people's inhibitions, of other people's fears, of other people's phobias. And it doesn't work that way. You have to follow your destiny. Even though you know what your destiny is, the destiny comes forth by trust. And if you trust your inner voice, your inner guidance, you could be all of a sudden sitting watching television and the phone call calls and someone says, oh man, I just read this incredible book. Well, that's God talking through that person to tell you to buy that book.
Mm-hmm.
These are the little subtle things that come to us every day. I have friends that come up to me and say, here, read this. And I go, oh, okay, thank you, God, because it came through them to me. He can't talk to me because it's not in the physical energy, but it comes through a physical energy to me. Or I might hear a bird, or someone will say, like yesterday I was visiting this concert. I was at this concert, this conference this weekend. And all morning I was thinking, I have to check out of the hotel. And I'm in the last seminar, laying on the rug, listening to this incredible music. And before it began, my friend is sitting there. She goes, oh, what time does it end? I have to remember to check out of the hotel. And I had forgotten to check out of the hotel. Right? And I went, oh, my God, I have to wake up now at 1:45 and stand up and leave this room to go check out of the hotel. Well, there God was telling me once more, get up and make sure you check out of this hotel. So these, you have to pay attention on the physical plane as well as the spiritual plane at the same time. We can do that. We are spiritual in the physical body. We are living in the illusion, but at the same time, we are God conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I really like that analogy of, you know, really, really being a listener, because it is true. It's, I mean, for myself, I know that some people tell me that I have a direct connection. I have a direct line because I will be thinking something and I'll be, you know, thinking, asking for, you know, something that I need, and I'm thinking about something that I need to create, and it's there, and like, wow, where did that come from?
Well, wait, you say create. Are you creating or are you intuiting?
I'm intuiting.
Okay, so if you're intuiting, then you are hearing, and if you're hearing, the next step is to listen. If you listen, then you follow, and you follow, then everything resolves itself, not only for you, but everybody who's going to meet you thereafter and whose influences you're going to have from their influences on the next person. So the chain is continuous. So often we think we're creating our reality, but at the same time, it's coming at us and we're hearing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's paying attention, as you said earlier.
Oh, you have to. But you have to get rid of the childhood second grade teacher who's saying, you can't do that, and you better study hard. And your mother over here telling you, oh, why waste your time? And all of those things are their issues, are outside of you. If God created us as a grain of sand and we come from the beach, we are on the beach and God is the beach, then we are God in the living flesh, right? So we have all the power. We have all the beauty. We have all the wholeness. So who told us we were ever less than what we are? Not God. So who did? People outside of ourselves. Well, that's their stuff. Give it back to them. Just say, here, you handle it. I got my own life. Thank you very much. I love your opinion, but I'm not interested.
When you're in balance, you can you have that inner strength to ward off those things that may tip us off of our centeredness.
Yeah, but just keep a smile on your face, and then you'll start to then you'll just start to see the smile, you know, and you'll start looking. Like everybody says, look inside. Well, you got to go to that quiet space. And literally, you have to, or you know, if you really get confused, just go outside and hug a tree.
And that works. I've done it.
Go smell on a flower and say, wow. You know, go look at a beautiful flower in someone's yard and say, oh, my Lord, what a beautiful gift. Thank you so much. You're reminding me that I'm as precious as this thing is. You know, I'm as beautiful, I'm as whole as this thing is. And then you look at their petals and you see how beautiful. I mean, there is no copycat of God, right? There's no copycat of each one of us, right? So each one of us has our own individual expression. So some things that people give you are blessings because you're ready to hear them. Other things that people give you could be their traumas, which you just have to bless them and say, thank you, but I really appreciate it. However, you know, I have compassion for you, for your own sadness and for your own sorrow. And I know you'll work it through because everything does work out, always. All the calamities that we go through always have a way of working out and have a reason for happening. And those calamities make us learn how to say no. Thank you very much. I'm finished with this one. I don't want to ever repeat this one again. I was doing a show, and this woman came up to me, and I was talking to her, and I was mentioning to her that there's this magazine that you can buy, I mean, get at the front desk, and it has the floor plan of all the vendors. And she said, yes. And last year, she actually picked it up, and she went around and got all the business cards of all the people that she liked. Well, this year she came back, and she marked them prior to attending the show. And she's walking around the show, and she finally comes to the booth that I'm working at, and she says, you know, it took me 6 years of being stupid, repeating the same problems. But this year, I woke up. And this year, I got through everything I wanted to do, and I saw everybody I wanted to see, and I got everything I wanted to get. And she told me 6 years it took her from running the same number over and over and over again until she finally said, wait, there's got to be another way.
Right. The insanity is doing the same thing over and over.
Right.
And
But there's no judgment on her. I just thought it was funny that she woke up finally and she acknowledged it and she found herself, and I was so happy for her that she went. And I took a deep breath with her and I said, wow, I'm so glad for you. Because there was a child coming out again. You know, she was playing. She was out of the darkness. She was out of her grayness.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing my artwork and I'm translating all this spirit and all this life and this energy that I feel coming through me all the time, God has given me a really good ability to translate the infinite detail that I see out here amongst us. Not only in the individual personalities, but nature and architecture. And I personally like to paint situations and cultures where there's a simpler way of life to bring it back to the cities. Because I made a vow when I was about, I don't know if it was in my 20s or my teens, but I was talking to my brother at that time because he was a physical therapist, and he was one of my first supporters of buying my artwork. And I said, you know, Larry, I really want to bring this beauty and this culture and this life that is here for us everywhere. Growing up in Manhattan, I wasn't allowed to go on the grass, and all of a sudden I'm seeing the splendor and the kingdom, you know, heaven on earth. Well, it's heaven on earth, on the literal term. It's freaking heaven on earth. And I want to bring it back to the concrete jungles where people are living in elevators and they're living in buildings with air conditioning, and some even don't have windows, you know. And I want to show them a reflection of their own inner grace, their own inner beauty, their own inner joys. So through the colors that I'm painting and through the composition that I'm painting, I'm giving them a window for their own explosion of experiences. And this is the response that I get from my clients when I'm doing exhibitions out on the street fair or wherever I am, where they want to live in my paintings. They want to jump in there and relax, and even for 3 minutes, but they'll surround their offices, they'll surround their houses and their stressful days, and they'll come home and they'll just meditate into the artwork, which is really my gift, because that's what I said. I said, God, I want to get my art into the hospitals, in the hotels around the world, so that everybody can share in your grace and your beauty. And it started happening.
So it sounds like your artwork is actually helping people make the connection for their own individual self.
Yes, that's what I've been told. It's always what I get told when I'm out in the public, because that only happens like in the fall, you know. When I'm talking to people on an individual level, they don't know what I'm really painting unless I give them one of my business cards, and then their eyes all light up. But past that, I'm pretty much a quiet person. I stay by myself a lot, me and spirit, you know, we just do our little dance.
You do your dance.
You do our dance, and I have a pretty big dance.
And you have a fabulous
dance.
That's
why we thought you were the perfect person for our last show on Living Your Life Large, because you live your life large. You are an incredible person who the people that you bring to you, the energy that I've seen where everyone just wants to be around you. They just want to be around your energy.
Oh, thanks. Well, I want to be around them all too, and you guys as well.
Right. We were talking about in our series about, you know, how funny it is when we always have our plan A. We think we think this is the way things are going to go. We want to go with plan A, but how it turns around and that doesn't work out. And then you have to have your plan B and sometimes your plan C or your plan D and just keep going with the flow.
Totally. And I greet you on that one. I accept that one. And I know that that's the best way. And me, I don't even have any plans. Like I was saying, I might have something to do today in the back of my mind, which I have set out. Yeah, I have to finish this project and I have that project going on. But let me start here. And then I'll get a phone call. You want to go take a walk? Okay, I need to go exercise. There it is. So I go and I say, all right, I'll just go do that for an hour. And in the course of the day, I've done my 10 things. I'm not sure which order they're going to go in, but I try to set it up in my head. What's going to feed the next one? And if one needs to go outside into a delivery somewhere, I have to make sure that one's completed first. And then I add the other one on top of it. So I agree with you. Don't get stuck. Don't get frazzled. Don't get fried out. If something doesn't fall through, it's because God has an intention for you that he needs you to go do that first. Because everything works out. It's in a greater plan. It's in for the greatest good. It's for the highest good. So you can't control everything. And if you really don't control any of it and you just play with it and allow it to come through you, give to you, be given to you. It could be something on the news in the morning or a television show, and they say something to you, oh, my God, I forgot to do that. Mm-hmm. Then you go, there's plan B, you know. Mm-hmm. And then someone calls you, says, I'm going to come visit you in the afternoon. You think, oh, my God, I don't have enough food. I got to go to the grocery store. There's plan C.
Right.
So it's really like not one falls away and the other one replaces it. It's just a continuation of what's going to happen in the course of your day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, you know, being in the moment and paying attention.
Yeah.
And going and you know, just unfolding life as it unfolds.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that people really, really should try, and oftentimes I find this at art shows, they go, oh, I wish. I said, well, all you have to do is act. See, we are physical. We're not a dream state. And God gave us the body so we can act out our passions and our creativity and our joys for purposes of creation, for purposes of creative expression, just like the Holy, just like God. And I'm not coming from a religion. I'm coming from a place that supersedes everything that has to do with separation, because I don't believe that one religion is supposed to be overriding anything else. I think they're all different languages, personally. I just think everybody's got their own way of speaking, just like I love astrology. That's another language. Someone like may like physicists, physics, and that's a language. Someone might like Italian, and that's a language. For me, everybody's got their own language. And religion is another language because everybody is always going back to God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pay attention to a creative urge, I want to try what clay is like. So you go to the store, you buy clay, and all of a sudden you're sitting there and 3 hours go by and you're just having the time of your life. And in that moment of working with your hands, like in the Bible it says, work with your hands and know that I am God. You could be cooking. You could be washing the floors. And in that moment of concentrated focus, you're meditating. You are listening. You are receiving. You're not thinking. You're receiving. So you have to get into that quiet space where you're not doing anything internally going out. You are a receptacle now of being guided from the from your highest mind, from your highest good, from the highest place of joy, love, innocence, grace, all of these wondrous. Because we have a connection. Our body was designed that way, you know, through our chakras and through our pineal gland. And we have, like you said, Sherry, a direct communicational telephone line to God. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have to get past all your inhibitions. Nobody's looking at you, people. You know,
mm-hmm.
just do what you want to do.
Just
because you're going to inspire the next one who was afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know that what you just said really, really brings it all together to everything that we've been talking about. So I really appreciate you. Because we're coming, we've got a few more minutes
left.
One more thing. Pains, sicknesses, illnesses are all the body shutting down from free creative expression. So if somebody's got a kink in their neck, you know, maybe they're looking the wrong way. Maybe their hands aren't functioning. Maybe their arms or their body's not sitting upright because they're not moving their body. They got to move the body. They got to do something besides with the mind. They have to be expressing because you're shutting down. So everything is causing stress, and the stress causes disease.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So get back into...
Use your body.
Use your body. Use your mind. Use your heart.
Use your,
you know, all the senses that we have will integrate and be a channel. We are all here to be channels.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. I am so honored to have you
love
on
you
our
guys.
Show, Eileen.
Thank
we love you.
You
too. And do you have a website or?
Yes, my website is my name, EileenSites.com. This was a gift also from God, Eileen on my sites. So EileenSites, S like Sam, EI, T as in Tom, and Z as in zebra, .com. It's a window to the tropics.
Wonderful. There you have it, listeners. Eileen, thank you for being with us this week.
Thank you.
And we hope you join us again sometime in the future.
Thank you for inviting me, and I will enjoy it very much myself.
Okay.
Have
All
a
right.
wonderful day.
Have a great day.
All right.
Let it unfold. I love you both. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, that's wonderful. Gosh, what a way to start the day is listening to Eileen. I think we have another caller coming in. Oh, I think we lost the caller. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us with the Good
thank
News
you
Show.
Thank you so much. We have totally enjoyed doing this series with you, and we are looking forward to opening up to some more communication to bring you some more great interviews. We have a lot of things in store, and we're really we got a good show for you next week, so stay tuned and come and hear us.
Come back to listen to us. Send your emails to the Good News Show. That's GoodNewsShow at yahoo.com. And go to the blog and write in your comments. Let us know what you want to hear. We promise you we'll bring good news to you. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.